you know, I was always like, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just do something else. Like, I've been to ground zero. I can do it. So I have this mentality of, well, we'll try this and we'll put our all into it. And if it doesn't go, that's okay. I've pulled myself up before. I can do it again. So we'll, you know, we'll figure out something else.
Running a retail business doesn't have to be so hard. Welcome to the Creative Shop Talk podcast, the go-to podcast for creative shop owners, studio owners, and independent retailers. I'm your host, Wendy Batten, retail business coach and mentor. Each week, I'll share simple, proven business strategies, inspiring stories from fellow retailers, and advice from industry experts. Together, we're going to work to find the success you want from your retail business with more profits in your till and a little more joy in your life. Hey there, friends, and welcome to season number 2 of the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Batten, and I am so excited to be here for our second season. Before we get going today, I want to do a big shout out to the dozens and dozens, I want to say almost 100 of you listeners that shared ideas and content, ideas for guests that we should be bringing on to the season 2. I was overwhelmed with joy at some of the topics that you asked us to share in season 2. My team and I kind of went through a lot of the emails we received. I saw we were asking the question over on my free Facebook group, which is the Rockstar Creatives. We asked the question over there. Some fantastic, fantastic suggestions. Hot topics, great guest suggestions, and we have been actioning them. So there's been invites going out to some pretty cool people, and we hope to bring you more retail success stories. We got a lot of feedback that you loved the retail success stories, that you were inspired by them, and retailers just like you doing wonderful things. And I'm inspired by retailers as well, too. So we have a great season 2 ahead for you. And I'm so excited to be back. And we just took a little bit of a break, but we're back. And I wanted to also remind you, if you are listening to us on your favorite podcast app, to make sure that you are subscribing so that you don't miss an episode. And also, if you're able, I would love for you to leave us a review. It really does help us reach more retailers. And it tells Google that we exist, that we are a real podcast. And your reviews have been a blessing to me. I read them all, and we'll give you a shout out if we have an opportunity to see your comments and reviews that you leave for us. I'm going to pick one every week and try to share that here. So I want to give you a shout out. And so don't forget to leave your shop name if you leave us a review so that I can look you up. Sometimes we get like abc.com, you know, or somebody, some strange name that we don't know who you are. So please leave me your shop name so that I can give you a shout out that you deserve. So today I'm going to be introducing you to another retail success story, since so many people asked. And as always, I want to remind you that if you need any support, if I can help you in your business in any way, please reach out. You can always reach out, wendybatten.com. I do one-on-one coaching. My fabulous retailers inner circle, I say fabulous because it's the community inside that's fabulous. They're just supporting one another and doing amazing things. So, speaking of fabulous retailers, that is what I've brought to you today. I have had the great pleasure of knowing Melanie Curley from Mango Reclaimed for many years. I think when we both started our businesses at the same time. And so I asked Melanie if she would join us today. I invited her in here because she's such a great example of a retailer doing it right. She started small. She diversified. She added on products and she added on services. She has remained consistent with her brand. However, I've always loved watching Melanie grow, but she's been consistent to her values. You know, she hasn't wavered. She's been so inspiring to watch as she grows and thrives. She's a busy mom. She has 2 children. I mean, she's just doing all kinds of incredible things. And I really am inspired by how she started her business and also how she's growing through all these crazy times and diverse, like I said, diversifying and changing and, you know, looking at different revenue streams for her business. And it's just really inspiring. And I can't wait till you meet her. So I will warn you, we laugh a lot. We cried a lot, not a lot, but we did cry in this one. And just like if you're listening, probably just like you, we all have a story, right? We all have a story on how we ended up where we are and, you know, our dreams about where we're going. So I love Melanie's story and I hope that you're inspired by it as well. And I think you'll have some great takeaways and ahas as well. So let's get going. Can't wait for you to meet Melanie.
Hey, everybody. I want you to meet Melanie today. She is the most amazing. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm so excited. We are recording this Facebook Live and for the Creative Shop Talk podcast today. With live, like not, well, not live, I guess, but we're doing it together. It's the first interview that Melanie is saying that she has done. So Melanie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I introduced you a little bit in the intro, but I want to hear in your words about your journey and what you do. And I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's my first podcast I've ever done. So it's kind of fun. Thank you so much for inviting me. A little bit about me. Oh gosh. Okay. I mean, I guess you want my business journey, you know, like my whole life.
Well, you can tell. So I just wanted to let you know, like many retailers identify with your journey. I know like a lot of us have a similar journey. So what brought you to running your business and tell us a little bit about your business?
Yeah.
And so, your life and what's going on in the life.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So I am the owner of Mango Reclaimed, which is a vintage retail studio in Whitby. And we opened just over 8 years ago, which is crazy. Time is flying. But there is no studio without my past. Yeah, I'm an emotional wreck all the time. I was just going to talk about it and I'm having a hard time.
I didn't mean to make you cry on the first
part. That's okay. Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, straight out of the gate.
Let's go. Let's get the tears on. Yeah.
So in 2011, my husband died and we'd been together for 12 years and I was pregnant with our son at the time. At the time, anyways, we were living in Toronto and I was working in Toronto. I had a great job. I'd graduated university. I was working a great 9-to-5. I loved where I worked, the people I worked with, but it didn't really feed my soul. When I lost my husband, I didn't go back to that job and I could not afford our home in Toronto because Toronto is crazy and I was going to be a single mom on mat leave. Like it wasn't possible to carry our home anymore. So I moved back out to the Durham Region area where my family and friends and my whole support network is. Yes, at like 32, I moved back home with my parents and a baby to be. Sorry, this is probably not what you want to talk about.
No, I'm so glad you're sharing this. I know part of your story I did not realize. If you can share with us or not, or you can skip
it. Yeah, no, it's okay.
Everybody has a journey, and I know that yours was hard. I didn't realize that you weren't a creative and weren't running your shop before your husband passed. I didn't realize that part of your journey either. So now I'm going to cry. We've known each other for a while, but I didn't realize that part of your story. But everybody, look, I'm going to cry now too. So, okay. But if you want to share a little bit more on, so how did you end up becoming, how did you take that moving and the changes and everything? And
yeah. So like 2011 is literally where my life did a full stop.
Yeah.
And changed from everything it was to whatever it was going to become because I no longer lived downtown. So then as I had my son, Colton was born at the end of that year. And I decided that I wouldn't be able to move back into the city, right? Because I just couldn't afford to buy back into Toronto. And I still had my job. They put me on like a leave and they were like, come back whenever you want. We love you. Like my work was incredible. But I couldn't imagine being a single mom commuting for an hour to an hour and a half into work every day and home every day. Like I would never see my son. So I decided I had to build something for myself out here.
Boy, did you.
Okay. Well, I did.
Yeah.
You know, so it was in 2011 that I lost my husband, and it was in 2013 that I launched the business. So it wasn't like, you know, I just like, there was some time, there was some, work to be done on myself and, you know.
Had you always, I'm just curious, yeah. Had you always wanted to run a business? Had you always thought of that? Or was it completely like out of left field that you just followed the dots kind of to end up doing what you're doing? Cause you're just such a natural at your business. I mean, like to me, I can't even imagine life before Mango Reclaimed for you. I really can't. I can't like
it's
see
totally
you.
It's totally different.
Because you're just such a beautiful, you're just such a natural at what you do. So how did that become?
Yeah. It's funny because a couple of years into my business, I would always be like, everything in my life sort of led me here. Like, I don't know how, but it did. Like I'd gone to university, I'd gone to Ryerson. And I had a degree in graphic communications management, which essentially meant I was qualified to work in the printing industry. So not really related, but I did a lot of different jobs at that business I worked there for 6 years or 7 years. And I did production coordination. I was in the estimating department. I did account management. So I did a lot of like juggling multiple projects, looking after clients, estimating the cost of jobs to come in. So I learned a lot of things that have helped me in running a small business in a totally different manner, but a lot of those skills transfer, right? While I worked in that printing job in Toronto, I was also a wedding photographer. So I would photograph weddings every weekend. Because I was young and married and no kids, I could do all the things. And now I found myself, you know, widowed with kids, totally opposite life. But I was a wedding photographer, which also ended that career. I also ended the day that I lost Glenn because I couldn't even go to weddings. I couldn't even go to I couldn't do the things. So, yeah. But I still love photography. I'm still like had that skill. So, that transfers over into what I do as well, right? A lot of what we do is how we share it. So the photography skills came from years being a wedding photographer. My degree at Ryerson, I had a double minor. So I had my degree, but I had a minor in marketing and a minor in entrepreneurship. So I did always sort of have like an itch of like, I'm going to run my own business. And I used to say it to Glenn, my husband, all the time, like, I think I should be running my own business. I think I should. And he's like, well, what business? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to run a business. I don't know what it's going to be.
So there was an idea. There's an idea there. There's an itch, right? I love that you said that. There's an itch because a lot of
people. And he's like, well, like, you have a mortgage and all these things. You can't just like quit your job and start a business. And I was like, well, I know it's crazy, but maybe like a side business. And he's like, you already have a side business, wedding photography. But I was like, you know, I don't know. I pictured like a physical business, not necessarily, I didn't picture a retail store, but like a restaurant or, you know, anything. I don't know.
But looking back now, it's funny because you must say, oh, this is what I was meant to do. Like, this is what I was itching for, or if that's how you feel now, it almost makes sense, right? What you do. So interesting to me, we opened our stores the same year. I think 2013 is when I opened Front Porch Mercantile.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me, like, it's funny because it all makes sense. Everything that I do now makes sense, like from the journey and how I opened
it.
And the same as yours. So, and a lot of like, I've known you since then, but I didn't, and I knew your husband had passed. I knew, you know, but I didn't realize, it does all make sense to me. If wedding photographer, your photography is beautiful. Your marketing is beautiful. You've always exemplified the proper way to run a business. And you and I kind of talked about this at the beginning a little bit about how everybody thinks everybody else has all of their things together. But obviously, you know, so to me, it looked like you were like, oh, it was always planned this way. You know, I'm just going to do this. And even though I know you had, you know, this tragic thing happened, I honestly thought that was part of your path before Glenn died. So
no.
There you are. Like, it's interesting.
Nowhere in your path.
Before. So you are doing what you were meant to, I feel, maybe in my soul, I feel like you're doing what's in your soul. No, but you do what seems so natural and makes you happy? Like, is that, so when you open store, I also know you have a lot of support. I've met your mom and like, I've, they've always been very supportive, if I'm not mistaken.
I have a huge support network. Like my family, I come from a large family, Glenn's family. And now I have a new fiance and his family. I have a huge, huge support network. That's for sure. I'm very, very lucky to have a lot of people that stand behind me and around me and with me. So
thankful for them. When you decided, now you've done some amazing things. But going back to when you first opened, because I think a lot of retailers listening can identify with this. You know, we have an itch. We have a passion. Yours was photography and you're very creative. Were you painting furniture at the time?
So I wasn't painting furniture to sell or anything, but I had painted a ton of furniture to furnish our home in Toronto because I like nice things and I couldn't afford nice things.
Right. We're all there. Yeah.
It actually started, the first piece of furniture I painted was like bedside tables for Glenn and I had an apartment at Yonge and St. Clair when we were both in university still. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get us some bedside tables. I was all excited. And I went out and I was like, $600 for bedside tables. I was like, we can't eat for like 2 months if I buy these.
Right.
Yeah. So I painted some bedside tables. And then, you know, as we got our home, I started redoing more things. There was painted furniture in every room in our house, but it was never something I had done for anyone else. And it was never something I'd ever considered starting a business on. Like, even though I had that itch to start a business, it wasn't like, well, this is what it is.
It doesn't make sense until it makes sense, right? It kind of just I call it accidental entrepreneurship, kind of like where we end up, yeah. Right? It's just sort of following the flow. And
so for sure.
It all makes sense now, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could never go back. In business, you don't always know when you do something if it's going to work or not, right? And your business model? No, you're
yeah,
like
yeah,
book,
no,
you're
yeah.
like you try your business plan.
But we try things, and if they don't always work.
Then you just try something else, and this journey has taught me that, and losing Glenn has taught me that. So, you know, I was always like, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just do something else. Like, I've been to ground zero. I can do it. So I have this mentality of like, well, we'll try this and we'll put our all into it. And if it doesn't go, that's okay. I've pulled myself up before. I can do it again. So we'll figure out something else. So sort of that mentality, I think, helps you be able to like jump in and try things and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, which is being brave, right? It's being brave and confident in your own ability to get through hard things, which you can get through hard things. You have done it. So not that we would, but a lot of retailers listening have had this journey of, you know, how could I make this happen? Like, how could we make that work? Or what does it look like is a question I hear a lot. Like, well, what could that look like? Or what does it look like? And, you know, I know that you obviously made it look... You know, now it seems like you had the vision all along, but obviously it was just steps into those different directions, right? Into, well, it could look like this, and this is what I love. So you opened Mango Reclaimed and in 2013, correct?
2013, I opened Mango Reclaimed, which was a tiny little retail studio. And at the time, before I was going to open, I was just going to paint and sell furniture. And then as I started promoting my business, because I started promoting before I was even open, to say, hey guys, I'm working on something. Hey, something's coming, which is twofold, because it lets people, like, if you just do everything behind the scenes, which I think a lot of people try and do, and then they open, like, well, where is everybody? Well, you haven't given them time to understand what's coming and know that they might be interested in what you're going to offer, right? So you got to tell them before it's perfect. You got to tell them when it's ugly and like you don't know what's going on, and come on this journey with me, right? So I'd be sharing things, which got people ready for the studio to open. It also held me accountable. So now I'm telling people. So now they're expecting me to do something else. So I got to keep going, right? So there's twofold in like sharing. But I found out before I was even opening, people were like, oh, that's so cool. I want to do that too. Where can I get paint? Where can I get this? Where can I get that? And then I realized like, oh, they don't just want finished furniture from me. They want to do this too. So let's figure out how to bring them, you know, that's when I started researching paint lines and found the Van Gogh paint line, which I fell in love with. And that's the first paint line that we brought in right away. And we had people buying paint out of like the back garage of our studio before we'd even opened our doors. Like, I felt like I was like a drug dealer. People would be like, do you have the paint? Can I get this color? I'm like, yeah, but we are only, you know, we don't have a payment system yet. And we don't have this yet. And we don't have that yet. But yeah.
Bring your cash and meet me at the back garage. Yes. Yeah. No,
yes, yeah. A little yeah. bit. Yeah. For like yeah. a couple, like for 2 months or something there before we opened our doors.
So your business has evolved, and I'm so glad you said that, because your business has evolved like not necessarily with a, this is our plan and we're going to go to this, you know, this 5-step marketing plan of our vision of our business. It's evolved, and that's what happens to so many of us. Like, that's exactly what your story is. So I know we've talked about this before, but your story is, I was just going to paint furniture and sell it. Like, my business called Front Porch Mercantile was because I was selling furniture off my front porch. Like, literally at first,
that's literally,
I was like literally selling furniture off. And it was funny because the same thing. And then I moved there and I was like, oh, people want paint. And it's the same thing, right? So, but you're so good at marketing. And this is, it's like a common sense thing for you, if that is okay to say.
I appreciate it. I don't feel like it is, but I appreciate
just you saying like, well, of course I'm going to tell people I'm doing this because it's going to get them excited. Like, that just makes sense to you, like, to do that. And that I like, that's what I teach all the time. Like, you have to build excitement. You have managed in a couple of things I want to touch on. You have managed to grow and expand, and we'll talk about that and where your business is now and some of the daring things, if I may say, like, again, the hard, scary things, but you've already said like, well, we got to try new things. So you've done some really cool things. And the other thing is you are so good at building community. You have built such a beautiful community around you by keeping people involved and by listening to them and by doing the marketing. But marketing has a bad rap, but marketing just means getting people excited and in love with your business, right? That's what to me marketing is. So how is your business? You want to share a little bit on some of the big, hard, scary decisions you've made, because your business has gone from this little tiny shop selling out of the back garage, you're drug dealing paint out of the back of the garage.
I know, so bad.
And so can you share what you're doing now? Because you've just gone through such a tremendous growth, not all at once, obviously not all fully planned, but you're doing some really cool things. I would love for you to share and encourage other retailers listening that, you know, it's just stepping into new, like being brave, right? And so you want to touch on that a little tiny bit?
Yeah, sure. When we first opened the studio in 2013, we've said a couple of times, it was 1800 square feet. So it was kind of like, I remember building, like renovating this derelict warehouse space. It was so bad. And just being like, oh my God, it's so big. Is anyone going to come? Like, you know, super stressed out. And they did, right? They came, they were excited. And then we found soon that we needed more space because we evolved, right? Like we're going to sell. I say we, I always say we, cause you say we, but it was me at the beginning, right? With my parents' support and, you know, volunteers.
So you were doing it all. I remember those days. I was, you were the one woman show. I mean, I know that we all have support behind us, but it was your business, your vision, your business. You can, you feel free to say me. I know it's a we collectively, but
Like I said, initially I was just going to paint and sell furniture. And then I realized people wanted paint. So we brought in the Van Gogh paint line. And then eventually we brought in the Miss Mustard Seed paint line because we love Marion and the milk paint line. And for a while we tried a few different things. I have a good friend who's a designer, and she initially brought in some things. We were going to do some consignment items like homeware, like home decor stuff. That didn't really fly for my clientele, but I know it works really well for a lot of other retail stores. I think it's more to do for us. It was our location. So the location of my studio is like, super industrial. So it's not a cute little shop on a downtown street. It's an industrial plaza. That's a little sketchy from the outside, let's be honest. And when you come in, it's super nice because we've done a ton of work to make it nice inside, but we found, I found that made it a bit more of a destination for people. So we don't have customers that come just to look, because they're coming because they have something in mind. So they're driving to us because they're ready to start a project or they're looking for a certain thing. So be in the middle of nowhere was a bit of a gamble, I guess, to say, but it's worked out for us. And then we needed more space because we found out that we were doing more and more custom work. People wanted us to paint their furniture, so we started doing that. And so we took over a couple extra storage units in the building. And we were like carting furniture from like my building to like the storage unit. So like we'd be like shuffling dressers down the street just to get them in the other. It was ridiculous. And so then eventually there was a CrossFit gym beside us and I knew they were leaving. So we just waited it out until they left and took over that space, which gave us a total of 5,000 square feet, which is what we have now. Which again, that was a big gamble. Yeah. But we made like a huge showroom. I took on some staff to help with customer service and to help with, at the time I had brought on, we've had a few different staff now over the years, but like some really great people, but we had someone help do all the prepping, all the furniture schlepping that I didn't want to do. So I would just be doing the painting. And someone else was doing all the dirty work for me, which was awesome.
It's important.
I had an on-site handyman.
You can't grow if you're trying to do all the schlepping and the management and the customer service and again, we talk about this a lot, but you can't grow. Yeah. So I always say, start off by hiring to your weakness, right? So,
yeah.
Or what you don't want to do, stay in your zone of genius, which for you, I know is, you know, being the beautiful creative that you are. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You can't do all the things. And even if you can do all the things, it doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then you can't grow.
Yeah. I can prep the furniture, but I don't, that was one of my first hires too. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't need to clean the studio. I can, but I don't need to be the one that stays after hours to clean the studio every night. So I always, you know, there's just things that it's just okay to, and that frees your time up to do bigger and better things. So your showroom is beautiful. Your store is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Beautiful workshop studio. Your expansion was, I can tell, was a big gamble for you at the time. Not a gamble. I don't think gamble is the right word. Is that a word? I don't know. Is that something
A
chance. Yeah, you're right.
What's the worst?
Yeah. We could just have to, you know, not shut down, but go smaller again. But it's beautiful. You did a beautiful job. Again, promoting, getting people excited. I live a long ways from you. Like a 20-hour drive from you. And I want to go there. I have spent who live in Ontario because it's just so inviting. You're on my bucket list for one of the shops that I just someday hope to get to. So, because you've just done, and you make it exciting. You make it, your staff does too, though. I just want to chime in there. Your team seem very on board with your values and your brand, and you've kept things really creative and fun. And, you know, as you've grown, how have you done that? Let's just touch on that. How have you stayed so creative? Cause you're so creative. And I will come back to a couple of the other growth things that you've done too.
How do I stay creative? That's a tricky one. My fiance, actually, Raymond, he's always like, oh God, you got that look in your eye. You've got like 10, what are we going to do now? What's the next project? Like, one thing I'm not short on is ideas. So, I love listening to podcasts. Like I listen to your podcast and a ton of other business podcasts that I love listening to just for some inspiration. Sometimes I listen to totally non-related podcasts, just while I'm working, just to get my brain, you got to step out, right? Like you got to step out sometimes to be able to come back in. So I do that. I do try and schedule time to like step out of the business. It's hard right now with COVID during the pandemic, but I like to try and take some time away and I usually come back like, oh, I got all the ideas. Like,
right. So it is a problem though, for a lot of retailers. They start with these beautiful creative dreams. They are passionate about what they do. It's all heart and soul, just like yourself, you know, and then they get kind of bogged down into the day-to-day minutiae of all the crap that we have to do as retailers. Let's face it, there's so much work behind the scenes, right? There's paperwork, there's things, there's all the things.
So much.
So it's great to hear, and I want people to take that away from like, you have to step away, you have to, like, I think it's important to like hand a lot of that stuff off. I'm a big believer in bookkeepers and all the things that I don't want to do. I did it all at the beginning. I did all the things, but hiring what I can so that you can step away, so you can listen to the podcast, so we can. And even if you're starting at the beginning, I'm sure that you had the podcast on then, or you know, whatever it is that you know keeps you creative, because you do so much of the hands-on work still, right? Like you're still very hands-on with. You're still painting. You're still creating. You're still.
I'm still doing a lot of it, but honestly, so I hired Jocelyn onto my team probably 2 years ago.
Time flies. Oh my God,
timelines. So actually Jocelyn does like 85% of our painting now. Jocelyn does most of it. Allie does a lot of the finishing. So I'm actually not doing as much as I would like to do anymore in that realm of it, but I am doing other things that I enjoy. So, you know, like the new big paint line that we've just taken over. So right. I'm focused on that while my team is focused on Mango Reclaimed. So we've sort of segued, and now I'm running the second business and they're running the first business.
So let's talk about that. So you have, in not taking chances, cause I don't know if it's taking chances or just doing scary things, adding revenue streams, doing different things, expanding your space, expanding your team, expanding, you know, all these different things you've added. You've done what I think is a big thing. And it's so funny cause you just said it's been a year or 2 years. I feel like the last year has been like 5 years. Right. But anyway, right? Has it been a year? So a year ago, you took on, you decided to bring on your own paint line. So can you tell us a little bit about that? I think that was brave and brilliant. I really do. So if you want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal at our place right now.
It's kind of a big deal. It is kind of a big deal starting a paint line. Let's just talk about that on top of running a retail business during a pandemic. But anyway, yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, so like I mentioned, when we first opened, the first paint line that I brought in was the Van Gogh paint line, which is a Canadian-made chalk-based, water-based paint line, which we absolutely love for reclaiming furniture. It's still what we use in our studio for like 95% of everything that we do, because it's our go-to. It's our like, it's our baby. It's our hands down favorite paint line. So we have been retailing it since the beginning. And, so it was owned originally by Kathy Van Gogh, and she was retiring. And so as she was deciding to retire, she actually reached out to me personally to ask if I would be interested. So I had first like dibs at taking over this paint line, and I almost like fell off my chair. Like I was so excited. I also knew if we didn't take it over that either someone else would be taking it over and then I would be working with somebody else, or it would be dissolved, like, or, you know, no one would take it over. And so I couldn't fathom the idea of losing this paint line that we've loved for so long. And I was super excited to take on a new challenge.
Because you were busy enough, but anyway.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, she also has a second child now. So she's a very busy mom. We should talk about that. But anyway, doing all the things with a new fiance and life and store and expanded store and all the things. Yeah. But you did it.
We did it. So the paint itself is the same, because we absolutely loved everything about the paint itself, the quality of the paint. So we haven't changed that, but we changed the name of the paint. We changed the branding. We've changed all the marketing, the customer service behind the brand. We updated the color palette. So it's kind of awesome, because it's this product that's been around forever and tried and tested and loved. And now it has a whole new look and feel and fresh colors. And like, we're excited about everything we can do to bring it back into the forefront.
Yeah, you've done an amazing job with branding of that new line as well.
Thank you.
So, and that goes back to, how does Melanie stay so creative? I literally like, I see things and I'm like, how does she do all this? Like, you know, even just.
Tell me, everybody does that though, Wendy. Everybody looks at everyone else's business and goes like, oh, why didn't I think of that? How should be doing that? How does she have time to do that?
Right.
Because you're over here doing this, you can't do that. You can't do all the things. So like, find the things you want to do and just go all in for those things, right?
Well, it's true, right? So that's actually why I ended up closing my studio, to be honest. Like I it makes me almost ill when I talk about it, but I couldn't do all the things well for, like, for me. And I didn't have that, you know, extra support behind me. So it was just funny that, you know, you are right. We have to do like what we want to go for. Right. So you are, your store has been open. Let's just talk about, we were talking about this. I said, oh, Melanie, will you come on the podcast? Cause you're doing everything perfect. I know that that's not like, I know what we put out to the public, and not that, and let's just get real. Everybody listening here, probably a retailer, thinks everybody else has all their things together and there's no stress or whatever. Everybody has, like, we all have a backstory. We all have things we're struggling with. Right before we jumped on the call, you said, you know, you've got, your son is in school, virtual school. We've got this pandemic we're dealing with, you know, there's a fear with that. Your store has been closed more than it's been open. I mean, closed to the door, the doors have been closed, but you know, we've all had to figure out how to jump through all these weird old hoops of curbside pickup and online and, you know, and navigating this new paint line, you know, how do we encourage people, just, you know, how do we stay creative? So not everybody. And I think you can speak to that as well too. Like, it's, you just said, if I can say it, how tired you were when we first came on. She's like, I'm so tired.
They can see it. They can see it, Wendy.
I actually said that you looked amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. So how old's your youngest? So how old are your children? Just so everybody can have perspective on life.
Yeah, Colton is 9. He just turned 9. So he's doing grade 4 virtual learning. And I was just telling you before that his desk is literally in my office at my studio. So we have like my desk and his desk. And so I'm trying to like brain and do all the things on my computer, and I can hear like 25 grade 4s talking about their day. There's challenges right now, right? And my youngest just turned 3 last week or the week before on the 15th. It's a busy time.
Life is busy. So let's talk just really quickly. And thank you for sharing about the paint line. And if it's okay with you, I'd love to be able to share, you know, the details of how anybody can find out about Mango Paint. And we'll have all of that information on the show notes, because I think it's really important, like, just for people to see what you're doing and to reach out, be able to reach out to you if they need to. What's next for Mango Reclaim? It's like, what's or Mango Paint, or what's next? What's like, what's new? What are you most looking forward to in the next year?
Besides your house, Wendy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's, yeah, we always have to like look at what's coming next, as if what we're doing right now is not enough.
What's next. Maybe what's next is just, you know.
Yeah. More of the same, but on a bigger scale. Right. So, there's 2 businesses now, right? They're separate businesses, Mango Reclaimed and Mango Paint Inc. Okay. Totally separate. So Mango Reclaimed, we're in Ontario, the studio, we're on stay-at-home orders right now, like shut down. So our shop's not open, but we're curbside pickup. And we have customers like, I can't wait till you're open again, right? Thankful for people just, you know, standing by us and excited. And our online orders are crazy, which is fantastic. But when we reopen Mango Reclaimed, I think it's going to be a different studio again. So this will be like, we had the original small studio, and then we had the new big studio, and now this is going to be a new business again, like a refresh. I get bored when the studio is the same. I get like, I come alive when we're like, okay, we're going to change all the things. You know, we're still going to offer the same things. But we're going to do it in a different way. We're going to freshen it up this way or that way. So we're sort of going to reinvent the retail studio itself before we reopen. So we'll probably stay closed maybe a little bit longer than is mandated, or we might just reopen. We opened like a small shop. We brought all our cabinets in and made it like a tiny shop within our shop, so that you can just sort of shop the circuit.
You did a little bit of a hybrid thing, right? Like just trying to like make it work for.
Yeah. So it was still basic.
I don't know, whatever we're calling this now. But anyway, this new hybrid season is my new favorite word. Cause it's like, what are we doing anyways? Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's like phase 2, right? Like you're not completely mandated to just be curbside pickup, but you also can only have a certain amount of customers in the store, and you've got to have all these extra regulations. Yeah. So during that time, we'll probably be the small store. And while that's happening, we'll be re-envisioning and creating the rest of the store. Which I think will look a little bit different than it used to, but it will still be I'm excited. Like, it'll be awesome and exciting in new ways.
Your customers will be excited too. You have such an incredible customer base, which we could do a whole podcast episode on that. But so they like to see fresh too, right? I know that.
Yeah,
they'll like.
Yeah,
that.
They like to. I mean, you know, sometimes like, well, where is this? What happened to that? And like, no, we're doing this now. We're evolving. Come with us.
That's creative, right? Yep.
Yeah, and that's why they love us too. We're always like installing new crazy things. Like, we do like art installations in the studio just because it's fun. And actually, my fiance is usually the spearhead in those. He's a very creative person as well. So he's always like, what if you paint all those things and I hang them like this and we do that? And I'm like, yeah, let's do that.
I need to talk about that just for a second. When I talk about you staying creative, that comes to mind. So she's speaking about you took spindles and painted them all. And it's like they're hanging like from the ceiling. And I'm like, who thinks of these amazing things? Oh, Melanie does, right? So I didn't realize that your fiance did that as well too. So
yeah,
I will share a picture of that on the podcast notes because it's incredibly creative. Like, it's so cool, right? Everything you do is cool. Your whole studio is cool. It's always changing. And you are right. That's very, it also makes me as an e-commerce customer come back again and again, just FYI. Like, what's new at Mango, right? So you know, so that's good. And what about the paint line? Is there
And the paint line. So yeah, the paint line, we're in a global health pandemic, and retail studios are closed, and we still have retailers reaching out every day to say, how can I get your paint line? How can I bring this in? You know, my customers want DIY right now, and we're looking for a nice Canadian brand that we want to stand behind. And so it's been awesome. Actually, we started with when we took over the line, there was only a handful of us left still carrying the Van Gogh. And that has nothing to do with the product. It was just, there wasn't really the marketing behind it. It wasn't supported the way it needed to be supported anymore, which is fine. Kathy did an amazing job when she started out, but she was ready to retire. So, yeah, so there's only a handful of retailers. We're growing slow and steady in that department. We have retailers across Canada now. We've got retailers in the States. We have a retailer in New Zealand. We've had retailers reaching out a lot recently from Europe and the UK asking if we can go over there, which we haven't branched out there yet. And I don't even know what's involved. I have to say to them, like, I think we can do that. I don't know. Like, let's figure it out. Wow. So, you know, huge learning curve for me because I've always been business to consumer, and now I'm business to business and also business to consumer. So, yeah, just gonna.
That's exciting.
Figure out.
There you go. Well, it's interesting. We should talk after. I can help you a little bit with the distribution of a European. I have other retailers doing different things like that. But so it is. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting times, and you know, retailers listening as well too can tell you that, you know, the DIY world is rocking right now. I don't know, like, I know it's hard and I know nothing's been easy. Like you just said, the kids are in the office and the doors are closed and all the things are happening, but really our customers are showing up. They're needing us. We're meeting them where they are. Like it's actually amazing to see how well a lot of retailers are doing right now in that they're able to serve their customers with what they need. Because what people need right now is, you know, their home, they're loving on their things. They need distraction. They need, you know, so painting, being creative, all of the things that we do on a regular basis, you know, is amplified right now. So it's actually a good time to be, even though you're closed and it's weird times, but it's good times. It's weird times, but it's good times.
But it doesn't mean we're not busy. Like, we're so busy. Like,
I know, right? Crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. So it's really good. So, I was just one last thing. I like to wrap up on it. I want to honor your time, and I know I've kept you so long. I have a million other questions, but I'll wrap it up. I always like to wrap up my podcast by asking, what's a favorite quote or a piece of advice that you've been given that maybe you like to share that you can share with us, to inspire retailers or that inspires you? Do you have something that you can share with us?
It's a tricky one.
Oh, you don't have any. Just something that keeps you going. Like, what inspires? Is there anybody or anything that, like, a quote that runs around in your head all the time that maybe that?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few. Like, depending on the challenge at hand. But you know, finished is better than perfect is a huge one. I think
so good.
Like, just get it out there. I can, and it's funny. My staff will say it back to me now too. Because I'll be like, oh, I can't do this because I can't do that, and they're like, what do you always say to us? Like, let's just put it out there and we can refine it, right? Things can always be adjusted and updated and refined as you go. But if you don't put it out there, and let's be honest, the first time you put something out there, no one's looking anyways.
Well, that's true, right? So it's funny because I live by that same thing. Like B plus is okay. I don't want like a D. I'm not going to put a D out there.
No,
but B plus is okay. It's if I can't get an A or I can't, because that, so I, my coach always tells me that too. Like, Wendy, this isn't an A plus. I know, but get it out. Like a B or a B plus is okay, right? So done is better than perfect. And it is true. It's important to get it out there. I think if we didn't, I think like we'd always be in this. Like it's never, first of all, it's never going to be perfect in my, it's never going to be perfect. Like,
I think I can create something perfect. I can't make something perfect. So
Well, you've done an amazing job at making it look perfect. I just want to tell you. So, and I just want to mention again, Mango Paintline, and we'll have the details for that for retailers that might be interested in carrying that. So you are exporting to the US right now then, because I have a lot of US listeners.
Yeah, we've got a good.
Right. So the paint line's beautiful. The marketing is beautiful. I just wanted to say that. I have it in my notes. Make sure you mention that. I just love the way that you brought this all together. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And you know, it's not, no one has it easy from the beginning right through to where you are now. And we're always taking chances and we're always doing hard things. And thank you for sharing how you're, you know, how you're moving through this beautiful creative life that you have built. And I'm going to just keep watching to see what else you do now. I might have to have you back on for part two, because we'll have to talk about the next chapter of Mango Reclaim. Thanks so much, Melanie. I appreciate you so much. So thank you for being here and your time. I know it's valuable, so I appreciate you. So thanks for sharing.
It's lovely chatting with you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I'm so glad that you're here to join us this week, and I hope you found value in what we're sharing here. I want to remind you that our website has all of the show notes. You can find it at wendybatten.com/podcast. Everything that you need to hear about today's podcast is there. Also an opportunity if you need to reach out to me. If I can support you in any way whatsoever, please feel free to reach out. Make sure you join our Rockstar Creatives Facebook group. We will continue the conversation over there weekly. So thanks for joining us. Please leave a review, subscribe if you can, and never miss an episode. We hope to see you back here again next week. Thanks, my friend. Have a great week.